I'm in yeshiva. So in yeshiva, there's a big emphasis put on, high levels of dedication to life as a ben Torah, to waking up for davening strong with kavana, learning a morning seder, an afternoon seder, a night seder, growing in our Talmud Torah, intense emphasis on our ruchnius, intense emphasis on our midos development, on our benam l'chaveiro, intense emphasis on stagging in learning and in davening and really a tremendous focus on our ruchnius. And that is exactly how it's meant to be. And that's really often the paradigm that we think about when it comes to Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the Gili of Hashem when God revealed himself to the Jewish people, and the tremendous spiritual experience that Kali Yisrael had at Har Sinai, hearing the Torah straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. And that tremendous ruchnius, that tremendous spiritual experience of Har Sinai. But the truth of the matter is Har Sinai ended. Har Sinai experience ended. And the Rabban famously says that the whole inyan of the Mishkan was to keep the Har Sinai experience alive within Klal Yisrael, and that the Mishkan and then later the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim would be a place, an opportunity for Klal Yisrael to revisit the Har Sinai experience. So that the Har Sinai experience, the Har Sinai inyan, that tremendous ruchnis, that tremendous spirituality in Kibbul Hashem, would be able to be reconnected, be replicated and tapped into the rest of the time. But the truth of the matter is, I don't believe that, even based on this Yisod of the Ramban, I don't believe that the inyan of continuing and keeping alive the Har Sinai experience necessarily would be limited to the Beis HaMikdash or moments of tremendous spirituality. I will begin with this famous Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos
also,
says like this.
Rabbi, wasn't there a machlokes? I thought also the Mishkan, according to some shitas, was as a restitution for Cheda Egel.
Maybe both, yeah, in Achanami, maybe both, you're right. Maybe it didn't have to be one or the other, maybe it could be both. That's okay. A good point. He's the master. So the Gemara in Shabbos famously says like this. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to give the Torah. The angels immediately got involved, and they said, Mali Yilod Isha Beinenu, what is this human, what is this mortal doing? And Hashem responded to the angels, and he came to receive the Torah. And the angels said, that this special treasure that's been hidden in God's special treasure house for 974 generations before the creation of the world, you want to give to Basar Vadam? You want to give to flesh and blood? And they quoted the Pasuk, what is the good of man, of mortal, that you remember him, and man that you remember him? Hashem Adonenu Madir Shimcha B'chol Haaretz Asher Tinah Hotchal HaShamayim. God, your glory belongs in the heaven. So the angel said, the Torah belongs up here. You can't give the Torah to man. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to Moshe, they talk have a good taina. They're saying good. Hechzir len tshuva, you need to give them a response. Why do you deserve the Torah? Amar Lufan of Ribbono Shel Olam, Moshe said to God, I'm scared of the angels. They're going to burn me up. They're so spiritual. They're so holy. How could I give them an answer? Amar lo echos b'kiste kvodi, hold on to my throne, b'chazer len tshuva, and give them an answer. So Hashem says you'll be able to do it. Skipping a little bit, Amar lefanav, Moshe said, Ribbono shel Olam, God, Torah sh'ata nosein, this Torah that you're going to give now at Har Sinai to the Jewish people, Maksiv, but what does it say? It says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim. It says, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Amar lehem. Moshe turned to the angels and said, excuse me, angels, let me try me out of them. Did you go down to Egypt? Lefaro hishtabtem? Were you subservient and were you slaves to Paro? Torah lamatei lachem. You don't deserve Torah. Torah is meant to be given to one who experienced Mitzrayim. Torah is meant to be given to one who experienced the suffering, the torture, the exile, the depression, the pain, the suffering of Egypt. Angels, did you experience anything like that? You don't deserve Torah. Shuv maksiba, and Moshe continues, and what else does it say? It says, lo yelecha elohim acherim, don't have any other gods. Said Moshe, Moshe then turns to the angels. Angels, angels, do you have to live among the nations of the world who serve idolatry? You don't have to deal with the challenge of being enticed by foreign nations and to serve their gods and to get involved in their culture. This doesn't apply to you. And he continued, what else does it say? It says to remember Shabbos. Angels, do you work 6 days of the week that you need a Shabbos Kodesh, a day of rest, a day of Ruchnias? And what else does it say? It says, Lo Sisa, Maso Matan Yishbachem, do you do business? What else does it say? Right? It says, Kibud Av V'Aim. Angels, do you have fathers and mothers? What else does it say? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Angels, do you have jealousy? That do you have a Yetzer Hara? That you need this Torah to guide you and to inspire you and to fill up your life with meaning? Miyad hodu lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and immediately the angels turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, Hashem Adonai Ma'adir Shimcha B'chol Aretz. God, the greatness of your name will fill up the world. V'il t'nahodcha l'shamayim loksiv. No longer will the glory of God be in heaven, but the glory of God will now be in this world as a result of the giving of the Torah. And what's the yisod of this Gemara? The yisod of this Gemara is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he was making a tremendous, profound revolution, which would mean now that godliness would be given to the Jewish people to live in life, to live in the human experience, not in the angelic, supernatural, spiritually profound, above this world experience, but this world experience, where we're around the nations of the world, where there's Yetzer Hara, where we're involved in family, where we're experience exile, where we have, where we do business. And I think it's this Nekuda that I think is so important for us as post-Yeshiva Bachrim, as people who are building lives, whether we're in education, you know, in college, graduate school, beginning a career, beginning families, dating, trying to build new families, trying to find the one and think about building our future. It's so important for us to remember that just because we're not in yeshiva anymore doesn't mean that the Har Sinai experience isn't with us. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in order so that every single moment of life, as each one of us lives it, can be a moment of tremendous closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and spiritual meaning. And I want to learn with you the words of the Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim says, and this is the very last paragraph of the Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim says, Pashut, it's simple. Ki kol adam, that every single man, whatever he does, whatever trade he chooses to do, whatever business he does.
He's referencing specifically Parnassa?
Yes, speaking about Parnassa specifically. Ki derech ha-chassidus ha-raui l'misha torasu v'naso, eino derech ha-chassidus ha-raui l'misha tzarech la'azki atzim l'mechaz chaveiro. Because the way of piety for one person, a person who's learning all of his life, is not necessarily the way of piety, the way of chassidus that's meant to be for the person who's meant to be hiring himself out for certain labor. And both of those ways are not necessarily the way for a person who's meant to be doing business. And this is true regarding every single detail of a person's life. That every single person in the path that they are going on, whether it's business, whether it's socially, whether it's family, whether it's whatever hobbies a person has, whatever community a person is a part of, every person's derech that they go in is meant to be their derech in which they're meant to attain the highest levels of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One person in kolel, one person in business, one person as a father, one person in intellect, one person in culture, politics, whatever may be filling a person's life, every single person has to know. Like the Shulchan Aruch says, "Bechol drachecha de'eyu," like the pasuk says, and the Shulchan Aruch teaches us that in every single part of our life, a person can have intimate closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and can achieve their potential, the highest levels of greatness in ruchnius. I want to share with you. This is really the most special thing that I want to share. Rav Hirsch has beautiful thoughts, beautiful haros, beautiful perushim on some of the nunin of the Aseres HaDibros. And in the Indian of Aseres HaDibros, Rav Hirsch says beautifully that the first mitzvah of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll read to you, this is not the main thing, but just such a beautiful thing, that the emuna of belief in Hashem, I'll read to you in English, Rav Hirsch says, what does it mean, emuna? Rav Hirsch says, what does it mean, the first mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Yitzrayim, that I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, Rav Hirsch says, what the philosophers, ancient and modern, call the belief in the existence of God is as remote as can be from the meaning of this verse regarding the foundation of Jewish thought and Jewish life. The fundamental truth of Jewish life is not the belief in God's existence. Emunah and Hashem does not mean we believe that God exists, nor that God is one and only one. It is rather that the one and only God, the God of truth, is my God. He created and formed me, gave me my standing, informed me of my duty, and he continues to create me and to form me, to keep me, to guide me, and to lead me. My belief is not that my connection to him is through an endless chain of events as a chance product of a universe which he was the first cause eons ago. Rather, my belief is that every breath that I take and every moment of my existence is a direct gift of his power and love, and that my duty is to devote every moment of my life to his service alone. Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that my very personal life, with my story, where I come from, the struggles that I'm going through, the things that I'm working on, my career path, my social difficulties, my dating life, my financial reality, my thinking about all the decisions that I'm making, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me, and my emunah in Hashem means that Hashem is with me in this experience that I am going through. Emunah is not just that God is some creator and some ruler in a faraway galaxy. Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, and he chose me, and he's living with me, and he's giving me life, and he's giving me my story. And that's a very, very tremendous word from Rav Hirsch. But now I want to share with you something that another Indian, another Nakuda that Rav Hirsch says on the last 5 days of Dibros. I'm great. Says Rav Hirsch, there's a famous idea there's a famous just a basic understanding that the Ten Commandments are broken down into the first five and the second five. And what's the breakdown between the first five and the second five? So obviously you have the assays and los assays, the positive mitzvahs, negative mitzvahs, where Hirsch sees something else which is so profound. In the first five, we have emunah Hashem. We have not doing avodah zara, meaning total dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have ben alamakom, exactly. We have not worshiping other gods. We have not taking God's name in vain. We have Shabbos, and we have Kibbur Avaim. Says Rav Hirsch, all of those Indians are acknowledging God as the master of our fate and the guide of our actions. Establishing this recognition is the base of our individual and social life, ensuring the practical fulfillment of this recognition through homage, that is renewed each week in Shabbos, and preserving this recognition through continuous transmission from generation to generation in our parental homes by Kibbutz Avayim. Now our verse is unbelievable. What about the last five? What are the last five? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal or don't kidnap, don't bear false witness, and don't covet. All of these things, listen to verse, says unbelievable. Says reverse, the five commandments that now proclaim the implications of this recognition and acknowledgement for life in society. Listen to this. If God is the sole master of your fate, and if he is to be the sole guide of all your actions, then each and every one of your fellow men too must likewise be under his care. And any action you take against your fellow man will come under his observation. God sustains your fellow man just as he sustains you, makes him a human being, and endows him with the same rights which he endowed you. All that is his life, his marriage, his freedom, his happiness, his honor, his possessions, has been sanctified unto him by God. Therefore, you must not murder him. You must not destroy his marriage. You must not deprive him of his freedom. You must not encroach upon his personal happiness and honor by giving false testimony against him. Indeed, you must not even allow yourself to covet anything that is part of your neighbor's household, anything that he can call his own. Rav Hirsch is saying something absolutely profound. While we developed quickly the inyan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to live in this world, and then we said that the inyan of Emunah Hashem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me in every single moment of my life, and he's with me, and he's guiding me, and he's strengthening me. And I have my own derech in life, and whatever I'm doing in my life, that's my basis, it's my foundation for the greatness and the holiness and the close to Kadosh Baruch Hu that I'm meant and able to achieve. Now I want to say another nekuda, and that is what Rav Hirsch is saying is, I am responsible and expected to see godliness in other people. The people that I encounter, if I believe that God has a special love for me and a special hashgacha, a special divine providence over me, I also must believe and accept that he has a special love and divine providence over every other human being that I encounter. And when I see another person, I'm not just, you know, meeting a random person, but I'm meeting God and how God is manifest through that person. How God has given this person life. And therefore, my respect and my kindness and sensitivity towards another human being is because I recognize that that person is also a chelek Eloka, a piece of part of God, that God has also created and endowed them with life and vitality and purpose. And therefore, when I go through life with a sensitivity and a kindness and positive and good midos towards other people, that's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity of avodas Hashem. When we develop our midos and when we have developed sensitivity and kindness towards other people, that's not just because we believe in being nice. That's because we believe that interaction with people in a holy way is what a Jew is meant to be. That's the whole inyan of the second half of the Ten Commandments, says Rav Hirsch. That not only does Kadosh Baruch Hu care about me, but Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about every other human being, and I must show them the highest level of sensitivity because Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about each and every one of them as well.
So, in other words, the second five is the realization of the first five in the physical world.
No, the realization of the first five in society and specifically as we relate to other people.
Gotcha. Beautiful.
And therefore, I think, and why do I want to emphasize this nekuda? Because maybe in yeshiva there's a very, very strong emphasis on my growth, my learning, my development, my ruchnias, my skills, my davening, my midos. Maybe when we're out of yeshiva and building a life, there's so much personal interaction. We meet so many people. We meet, you know, business people and people in school and teachers and classmates. And if we're working, you know, clients and people that we're helping and servicing. And maybe if we just stop to think that each and every one of these people that we're interacting with and we're encountering is another piece of God, is another manifestation of God. And when I interact with them, I can be mekadeshim shemayim by seeing the God within each and every one of them, seeing the beauty within each and every one of them, seeing the holiness within each and every one of them, because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, to develop that sensitivity. That's the whole meaning of the second half of the Ten Commandments, that every single person must be respected, must be treated, with high levels of honor, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created each and every person in this world, B'Tzelem Elokim, in His image. And one last nekudah, with this we'll finish, and that is a very, very important yisod from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And that's right after the Ten Commandments are completed. The Torah says that everybody saw the voices and saw the torches, and the shofar was filling up, and the incredible, miraculous nature of Har Sinai, the smoke, and everybody was standing afar. And the people said to Moshe, "You talk to us because it's overwhelming, dear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to die." And Moshe said to the people, "Don't be scared. Hashem is lifting you up. Hashem is sanctifying you. And He wants you to have Yiras Hashem so that you don't sin." And the last pasuk in this parasha is, "Yamor am mirachok," and the people stood back from far. Moshe nigash hala Rafael, and Moshe went up into the cloud. Moshe went up into the blur, the fog of Har Sinai, and there was Hashem. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov famously says this in Likutei Moharan, Torah Kuf Tet Vav, 115 in the Likutei Moharan. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says that this pasuk, which says that Moshe Rabbeinu went into the fog, is a very, very fundamental nekuda about life as an Eved Hashem. And that is, after Har Sinai, what's expected of a Yid? What's expected of a Yid is to know that the clarity of Har Sinai is not going to last forever. When we go back into this world, there's going to be many moments of doubt, many moments of confusion, many moments of blurriness. We're not necessarily going to have the clarity that we had in Yeshiva. We're not necessarily going to have that absolute, crystal clear confidence that about who we're meant to be, what we're meant to do, what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. And there's going to be moments and experiences and people that we meet that are going to be arafel, that are going to be very foggy and blurry and going to cause us to ask questions. Says Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, you know what a Yid has to do after Har Sinai? Says Rabbi Nachman, Mishu bar das, a person who has das, a person who has clear intellect, a person who knows what they want, he accepts the difficulties and challenges and confusions of life and realizes that it's there that he can encounter God. And Rabbi Nachman says, "Umisha ainu bar das," but a person who doesn't have the clarity, k'sheroa hamaniya, he sees the difficulties of life, it makes him scared. He runs away. I can't handle this. And this is the fog. Ki anan varafel ainu achoshech, it's darkness. And this is the meaning of the pasuk. The Yamur Amirachu, and the nation stood back because the fog was too scary, it was too overwhelming, and they didn't want to face it. However, Moshe Shehu Bechinas Das Kol Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the clarity, the intellect, the clear Jewish identity that we all have within us, we all have a little Moshe within us, he with confidence Nigash Al HaRafel, he went into the fog Asher Sham Elokim, for he knew that there was God. Hainu el ha-meniya, shebaba atzma nistar Hashem Yisbarach. He knew that if I go into this, that if I accept this, and if I go head on into this fogginess, there I will encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Nachman goes on to say, we'll just finish with this, Rabbi Nachman goes on to say that a person doesn't need to be scared of the confusion and the lack of clarity, the blurriness that sometimes life will provide us. Because that's a reality. But we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding within that blurriness, within that fogginess, within the parts of life where we don't necessarily have the clarity that we once had. But we have to have the confidence, and we have to have the emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even there in those experiences. And if we strengthen our emunah and continue to go forward one step at a time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our minds and in our hearts, that we can be confident that we'll make it through that fog. Hashem will be with us through the entire way. We'll grow through it. We'll get stronger through it. And we won't be knocked down. And we won't have to run away out of fear and intimidation, out of the difficulty from those foggy moments of life. And we'll be able to keep the inspiration and the chizuk that we got from our own Har Sinai with us as we grow through life.